This is Talking of Books with Isabel Abuhul, John McDonald, and the rest of the team.
In association with the Emirates Airline Festival of Literature.
Only on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Welcome back to Talking of Books. I'm Isabel Abuhul, and co-host today is Natalie Madison. And we're joined by our lead reviewer for the Book of the Week, Yara Badri. Welcome to Talking of Books.
Hi, everyone.
I know it's not your first time here. And the Book of the Week that we are going to be talking about today is this year's Pulitzer Prize winner, The Underground Railroad by Colson Whitehead. I think if we can, we're going to go straight to hear from the doyen of book groups in the world, Oprah Winfrey, to see, she chose this as the Book of the Week, see what she has to say about The Underground Railroad.
The Underground Railroad was such an emotional experience. It was a read, but it also felt like I was on the same journey with all of the characters, certainly with Cora. And there were moments where it was so grim and so harrowing and actually thrilling that I had to put the book down because it was too much coming at me at one time. So I would put the book down and then think about when could I pick it up again. I think book club members will enjoy this book because even though it is obviously historical and a period piece, it also relates so much to what's going on racially in our country. I think it lays the background and is informative about a time that created much of the tension that still exists today racially. The most striking part of the book for me is that there was a point where Colson Whitehead was going to have Cora as a male protagonist and made the decision that it should be female, and I think that was one of the wisest choices because there's something about being a woman, experiencing a woman in this journey that struck me profoundly. I don't think society really understands the long-term ramifications of slavery, how what happened 300 years ago, 400 years ago, still lives in the blood and has not been acknowledged in a way that allows people to feel seen and heard, Black people in particular. When I finished the book, I walked away with a renewed sense of information about who I am as a daughter of slaves, and a renewed sense of strength about what it means to come from a people who had that kind of strength to survive the Underground Railroad.
That was the one and only Oprah Winfrey. And my goodness, a lot of what she said, I absolutely would second that was what I felt about this book. I picked it up and I had to put it down and I couldn't sleep because of the images that Colson Whitehead puts in front of us. But Yara, as our lead reviewer, can you tell our listeners a little bit about the Underground Railroad that Colson Whitehead has won the Pulitzer Prize for?
So The Underground Railroad is a novel that revisits the story of American slavery. So it's pre-Civil War from Colson Whitehead. It's won the Pulitzer Prize for 2016. It also won the National Book Award in the US for 2016. It's an Oprah Book Club pick. The way I first heard about it was actually I saw it on a lot of writers' lists for what they considered the best books of last year. So it has a lot of critical acclaim. Mm. And it follows the story of Cora, who's a young slave on a cotton plantation in Georgia.
And she's third generation, isn't she?
Yes.
Her grandmother was
brought over.
Yeah, kidnapped and put onto a ship. And then Mabel, her mother, was on this plantation and had Cora.
Yes.
And they had this little bit plot of tiny, you know, sandwich piece of land that she grew things in. And that was her sort of her only possession that her mother Mabel owned.
Yes. And Mabel is notorious for having successfully escaped from the plantation.
The only one.
The only one.
Who's not been tracked down and brutally tortured and murdered. And of course, Cora is her daughter.
Cora is her daughter. And she abandoned her daughter at the age of 10 to attempt this escape. So Cora, in many ways, is a bit of an outcast as well as a result of that and of having to protect this little patch of land that she has gotten. Mm. So early in the story, Cora is approached by Caesar, another slave, with the suggestion to attempt escape. And initially, she refuses. But I think what's interesting in what happens to Cora is the approaching womanhood brings it with it new threats, new levels of violence, and suddenly an urgency. And so she agrees to Caesar's plan, and they attempt escape. The rest of the story goes on with Cora being pursued by a relentless, villainous slave catcher called Ridgway.
Who's never got over the fact he didn't capture Mabel. You know, she's the one that got away, and he just thinks, you know, he becomes
obsessive.
Pride in his ability to capture. And he is obsessive about capture. It's not even the money that he will get. It is like, this is his mission in life. He's, you know, as a slave catcher, no one can do it better.
Yeah.
And he has this sidekick who sounds as if he's half Native American Indian, who has a necklace of human ears, dried human, or maybe not dried human ears, whatever. I mean, these are the kind of details that Colson Whitehead gives us in the book. It is a challenging read, but I wouldn't say I'm so glad I've read it. It is necessary to read this because actually what Oprah Winfrey says at the end of the part we've just heard her speaking about the Underground Railroad is that the legacy of slavery is still felt today, and the injustice and the sort of
tension.
Societies
yeah
it's still going on, it's still going on. And I think this is why it's such an important book for us all to read, whichever side of the equation you are, whether you're white or black, you do have to read this.
So we follow Cora on her journey through different states, from South Carolina to North Carolina to Tennessee to Indiana, and we see with each state that she experiences different forms of oppression. So, you know, whether it's explicit brutality or whether it's kind of more subtle and insidious, there are parts of the book which are more about kind of trying to control that population. And in interviews, Colson Whitehead says he wanted each state to represent a different state of American possibility. And for him, it took the form of kind of Gulliver's Travels in that way. So, you know, we see Cora not just on a physical journey, but also on a personal journey, from being an object that is owned to actually experiencing more of the world and becoming more educated in her journey. And
because Caesar could read and write. He had been on a plantation with an elderly lady who had allowed her family slaves, he was the son, to be educated, and had promised them that on her death they would be freed, but actually she let them down bitterly, badly. And they were sold then, and he ended up on the same plantation as Cora was. But he wasn't educated, and I think that was why he was so desirous of escaping from bondage. And the fascinating part was the Underground Railroad, because in Colson Whitehead's book, it exists. It is an underground railroad, and these lines crisscross across America with trapdoors that take you into them. But the Underground Railroad was an actual physical, it wasn't a physical thing.
No.
It was the way there was these maps across America where slaves and those abolitionists who supported freedom of humanity helped slaves get to a better to a better life. And so he's actually in his book a fiction made it physical railroad underground, but there was this, they referred to it, they had code words for everything. Apparently Jordan was the code word for Canada, because Canada, if you escaped to Canada, you were free, and so on. So it's a fascinating mind map of how Colson has put it together.
He's talked about how he actually quite openly has drawn from different parts of the history of slavery, and he's not saying that he's put everything in order accurately. Yeah. So he draws from things that, if you were a historicist and you were looking at this, you say, well, actually, that didn't happen then. And he knows that, but it's relevant to draw it all together to kind of make the tapestry of the book.
So his prerogative as a fiction writer is to do that. And I think he said that he didn't stick to facts, but he stuck to the truth. And the way I interpret that is that he wanted to stay true to the emotional experience of slavery, not necessarily the historical fact. So like you said, Isabel, the Underground Railroad was kind of just a system of cooperation of anti-slave advocates actually helping fugitive slaves get to the north, get to
Canada.
And they
called it the Underground Railroad,
and they
didn't
did.
They? Yeah.
And he says the idea for the book came up 16 years ago, a very long time ago. He sat with this idea because he remembered how, as a child in history class, how disappointed he was when he found out that it actually wasn't a physical railroad, because I guess he'd studied this when he was quite young, and that term brings to mind something very physical. And so
that's so interesting, because my grandson, who's 5 and a half and who's obsessed with trains, saw this book and he said, is it all about trains and things like that? And I was thinking, you're never going to read this book. It's not for you. But he loved the fact that it had a train track on it.
Yeah.
So I can imagine that he heard about that but didn't. And they have they have museums, don't they, across America, where they you can go and visit and see that this was the beginning of when people who were enslaved could try and find a better life for themselves. But Cora is unable to love. She's unable to give herself devotedly to, first of all, Caesar, and then to the subsequent man she meets when she's on that farm towards the end of the book, just because of the horrible things that happened to her. She's never, you know, she can't heal those wounds.
No.
And I looked at some of the historical pictures when you go on and sort of research slavery, and you see these faces, and you see the fact they have no shoes, and, you know, they're carrying little babies, and the absolute look of bleakness on their faces is and then you come back and start reading again. It is really, really an emotional roller coaster. We're going to take a short break. We're talking about The Underground Railroad by Colson Whitehead. Do stay tuned.
Book of the Week, what you should be reading. From Shakespeare to Tolstoy, Stephen King to Danielle Steele, this is Talking of Books.
In association with the Emirates Airline Festival of Literature.
On Dubai Eye, 103.8. Now, back to the team.
Welcome back to Talking of Books. I'm Isabel Hull, and co-host today is Natalie Madison. And we're joined by our lead reviewer for our Book of the Week, Yara Badgery, and we're talking about The Underground Railroad by Colson Whitehead, and it's definitely left its mark on all of us as readers. We have a question. If you can answer the right question, if you can answer the question correctly, and you're picked out of the lucky hat, you will be gifted a copy of The Underground Railroad. The question is, when was slavery completely abolished in the USA? Send in the year that it was abolished to 4001, and please put your name. The other quiz questions for those listeners who would like to enter into those, getting books for those prizes as well. Which famous actress won an Oscar for her performance in Out of Africa? And the children, young reviewers' question was, beetles undergo metamorphosis as part of their life cycle, true or false? So those are the three questions so far. And over now to Yara to tell us a bit more about our book of the week, The Underground Railroad.
Right. So we were just talking about how the Underground Railroad was something that Colson Whitehead made a physical thing in this book. And so he's created this Underground Railroad that where trains appear at unpredictable times, go to unpredictable places. So when they're actually getting on a train, they don't know where they're going. And so throughout the journey that Cora takes, she comes up from different stations to a different version of attitudes towards American slavery. And it reminded me a bit of a book that I reviewed a few weeks ago on the show called Exit West by Mohsen Hamid, because he also had this little touch of magic realism where refugees were able to kind of escape their current situation by going through these magical doorways, but also not knowing where they were going to end up. And
what a vulnerable place to be.
Yeah.
So for Cora, what, like, you have to imagine the hell that you live in, that the best option is to go somewhere that you don't know if it's going to be worse or better, but you've just got to take that risk. Yeah. That's just
But there were cases, there were actual historical cases where like 20 slaves took their own lives, they hanged themselves just because life was so unbearable. I mean, it is just unthinkable. It is unthinkable. And this legacy is there. And I think that Colson makes the point that, you know, the damage is still happening when you look at certain things. If you look at education, if you look at job prospects, if you look at healthcare, if you look at arrests that are made, why is there such an imbalance in what's happening in today's America? So it's not that long ago, and the wounds are deep. They are deep.
There are very strong images that happen in this book that are quite shocking in terms of, you know, you understand Cora's reticence to actually attempt escape when you see what happens to those slaves that are punished if they are captured. And there are quite brutal scenes. I don't know if you want me to go into detail about.
I think for our listeners, we should spare them that. Just say that, you know, torture of the absolutely worst kind was meted out on slaves by not all, but by some plantation owners or overseers who the cruelty that they undertook and made other slaves witness is just incomprehensible. It is I looked up the laws when slavery was legal and what slave owners were allowed to do and what was permissible. I mean, it's just shocking reading. Even, you know, there was no limits to what they did, but that they were permitted by law to do.
I think also what he does do in the book is show different attitudes towards slavery even amongst the whites. So, you know, you also have characters who shelter, who help, who also would face a lot death, actually.
Their houses were razed to the ground and they were punished.
If they were found to be sheltering or actually aiding
escapees.
So it's a really intricate tapestry of different attitudes, different stories, and it's a huge undertaking, I think, to tackle this subject. He actually said that the reason that he took so long, even though he had the idea 16 years ago to actually write this book, was that he always felt that there were people who were much smarter and much more talented than him that could tackle this subject. And he mentions how he reread in research for this book, he reread Toni Morrison's Beloved and just felt intimidated.
Really? Because that is, again,
another Pulitzer
book.
Winner.
Yes, this is very different. This is a very different book. And I couldn't make up my mind as I was going along. There were times when I thought, well, I couldn't believe in the physical Underground Railroad, because I thought, what are they doing about ventilation? You know, these were the kind of things. Physically, how could you do this? Because it would have had to have gone quite a long way. And how did they do this digging and shoring up of tunnels without other people realizing it? You know, for me, the physical, that was the bit that really didn't work for me. Right. But I just put that to one side because the characters were so believable and so strong, all of the characters that he shared with us. And then they ended up on that beautiful farm, didn't they?
They did. Yeah. At the end, in one of the states, I think it's the last one, which is Indiana, they are on a farm called the Valentine Farm, where they're allowed, you know, it's kind of a bit of a utopia for them at that stage. They're allowed to kind of contribute, to be able to stay there. They have access to a library. Everybody contributes in some way, whether it's teaching the children or working on the land, but it is out of choice.
And it is, you know that this is a utopia, and like utopia, it's not going to continue
to exist.
And it's not even today, those kind of dreams. I found a song by The Impressions, People Get Ready, which I think fits so well with Colson Whitehead's book. We're going to listen to that now. I know it, you two don't. So here we go.
People get ready, there's a train a coming. You don't need no baggage, you just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the dealer's honking. Don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord. So people get ready for the train to Jordan, picking up passengers cold.
Of the week, what you should be reading. From Shakespeare to Tolstoy, Stephen King to Danielle Steele, this is Talking of Books.
In association with the Emirates Airline Festival of Literature.
On Dubai Eye 103.8. Now, back to the team.
Hello, we're back on Talking Books. We're too busy talking offline. We have to watch that. So here we are discussing our book of the week, the Pulitzer Prize winner, The Underground Railroad by Colson Whitehead. And we just heard that clip of Motown singers with People Get Ready talking about getting on the train to Jordan. And Jordan was a code word, apparently, in the real Underground Railroad for Canada, which did not have slavery. And so that was a place where Black people, if they managed to get there, could live as free citizens. It is a grueling read, isn't it? There's no two ways around it. But it is a book that absolutely deserves attention and to be as widely read as possible.
Yeah, I think that the political context in the US at the moment and the urgency of kind of the Black Lives Matter movement, you can see why this was a pick for the Pulitzer Prize judges, because like Oprah said in the clip that we had at the beginning, this is the root of racial tension. And so it is quite an urgent book. Mm. In that sense.
And it opens eyes and understanding. And the main character, Cora, is unique in the sense that even though she's been born into slavery, her mum was a slave and her grandmother before that, even though she was born into it and knows nothing else, so that's all she's known her whole life, she still has a sense of... She somehow knows that this is wrong, and she has this sense of right and wrong, and she talks quite openly about things should be different, and so she really understands what it means to be a slave and what's being done to her, and you sort of think it really educates you as a reader, because right. you think that's all she's ever known, so yeah. why would she have those that, you know, she wouldn't know anything else, but she
well,
really
you've
does.
You've got Maya Lu's Why the Caged Bird Sings. Yes. You know, yeah. again, you've got these brilliant books. I think it's to do with that tiny, tiny plot of land that the three, you know, the grandmother, the mother, and then Cora, they have this where they grow things, and it is their only possessions, and it is the one thing that they treasure. And you know that that she flips, that's when she's then sent to live in that other slave dwelling where they put anyone who's mentally ill or has issues. She absolutely flips when someone tries to take do something with that plot of land.
It almost represents freedom in a way for her, doesn't it? It's her little sense of she sits there and that's her freedom. It's something she owns. There's a little extract from the book here, if I could read that for you. And it says, Cora had heard Michael recite the Declaration of Independence back on the Randall plantation many times, his voice drifting through the village like an angry phantom. She didn't understand the words, most of them at any rate, but created equal was not lost on her. The white men who wrote it didn't understand it either. If all men did not truly mean all men. Not if they snatched away what belonged to other people, whether it was something you could hold in your hand like dirt or something you could not like freedom.
Such
really
powerful.
Has an understanding.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. I think what I appreciated in the book is it brought with it some new awareness of the realities of slavery. So for me, him choosing a female protagonist, although initially... but he eventually settled on a female protagonist, is that there's a very particular horror, I think, to the female slave experience, which is not only are you prey for your white owner, but also your fellow male slaves. Mm. And you are expected to both work and produce babies, because more babies means more cotton pickers, means more babies to sell. Mm. And so people want to profit from you very incrementally. And so I think it really kind of concentrated the horror of the fact that Cora is female.
And just imagine as a mother, you know, that those strong maternal instincts where you give birth, you won't have chosen maybe who is the father of that child. That's been forced upon you as well. And you give birth to your child that belongs to you. And yet you know what is the destiny of that child is to be belong to someone else as a, you know, you have no human rights, no that all you, of those things
you
together
can't build,
in a female protagonist.
You can't build family connections.
No.
You can't build, at the end of the day, I think you find, like you said before, Isabel, how Cora is not able to really love and really connect because it's dangerous to, in the sense that, you know, your baby can be sold, somebody could be tortured.
Mm-hmm.
So
you have no say in life and what it does. The quiz question, you have to send in your any quiz questions to 4001. Sorry if I didn't say that. That's the SMS number. So when was slavery completely abolished in the USA? What year? Send that in to 4001 with your name to go into the draw for a copy of this week's Book of the Week. No, I mean, it will be a long time before I get over the, not the questions, but the complexity of the history of what is is left, because it cannot be wiped away. You can't just get over it and say, well, that was then, we are now. Yes, we are now, but what legacy has been left to those who were slaves, and what legacy has been left to those who are descendants of slave owners, you know, because it's both sides. It's a very complex issue that they have to deal with.
And the great thing about the way Colson Whitehead writes is that it inspires you to research it did for both of us, didn't it? It really inspires you to look into it more deeply, because and one of the fundamental reasons is you can't believe it. So some of the things he describes, the punishments and the tortures, you just can't wrap your head around that in today's world. So I had to go and research it, because I felt like, Did this
really happen?
Yeah. You know, obviously we all know that slavery happened, but the detail that he goes into, you have to look it up just to kind of understand it a bit better.
And I think
that's a good thing, because we're all opening our eyes.
Yeah. But I think we had this sort of, what was the impression of slavery was really from the film Gone with the Wind, where they were, you know, all getting on in this big happy family and things like that. And that has done a great disservice. Much as I absolutely loved the film, the fiction, it actually, that was not the reality at all. And, you know, but that is the sort of, until reading, you know, these kind of books, you are not getting the genuine picture of what actually happened. And it's how many, it's not that many generations, we're talking maybe four generations.
So it is quite unflinching in the way that I think it looks at that time and what happened, and the kind of long-term ramifications that are still felt, I feel, in the US. But he also expands his commentary to other oppressed people. So at one point he starts talking about American Indians, and he says, stolen bodies working on stolen land. So he even goes further back and says, you know, slaves are stolen bodies, but they're working on land that has been stolen from other native people as well.
Yeah.
So,
and that, I mean, we had that in Out of Africa, where that whole thing, you know, about settlers, about the colonials who just go and take over, you know, and without any thought of actually who does this belong to? And it's it is just it is poor. It makes you pause for thought and think about the world that we live in today, and actually, all over the world, there are instances where things are brushed under the carpet. You look at Australia and the you know, the Aboriginal question, the Maoris in New Zealand, the Native Americans in America. You know, is it right that their land, that now they are kept on reservations, and, you know, again, they have so many issues with problems with education and you know, how they're perceived.
Right. And I found a clip. I'm not sure when you want to play that.
We will play that. We will play it probably now. So Yara very kindly found a clip of Colson Whitehead talking about the Underground Railroad. This is a small part of it. You can find lots of clips of him on YouTube. But let's listen to what he had to say.
It's hard to face our history, no matter where you're coming from. If you're a white person, say descended from slave owners, how do you come to grips with the fact that your great-great-great-great-grandfather or grandmother beat, brutalized, tortured people for profit? How do you sit with those facts? If you're African American, say a third-generation college, growing up with the first black president, how do you contemplate the magnitude of the degradation suffered by your ancestors? What were their names? Where did they live and die? Alabama, Florida? How did they live? What did they suffer? Like many black Americans, my family history sort of thins out 100 years ago, and the key to who I am is lost in the void of slavery, which swallows everything.
Yeah, slavery swallows everything. Yeah, it's just too big a, too big a thing to contemplate. And they're, you know, it is impossible for them mainly to trace where their ancestors came from, where they were kidnapped from, and so on and so forth. So I absolutely recommend to readers to go out and get a copy of The Underground Railroad by Colson Whitehead. I think it is a book that everyone should read. I think this is a really important book as well for students to read, wherever they are, because I think it is, you know, I had this sort of glossed view, as I said, taken from
Gone with the Wind
from the film, you know, which was a classic film, a classic book, which was lovely. It was lovely, but it's so far from the actual reality of what went on that I sort of felt even guilty for having read the book and watched the movie after going through this. So he has really, I think his book will become a classic in the way that Toni Morrison's and other books of that genre have become defining literature.
And maybe slightly older teenagers, before we're recommending it.
Absolutely. Yeah, or college students.
Yes, absolutely.
Because it is harrowing, it is definitely harrowing, but we need to be aware of what actually happened, and a lot of it is based on the historical facts of slavery in the USA. We're going to take a short break. Do stay tuned. We're in our final segment of Talking of Books and our Book of the Week.
Book of the Week, what you should be reading. From Agatha Christie to Jeffrey Archer, we've got it covered. Talking of Books.
In association with the Emirates Airline Festival of Literature.
On Dubai Eye 103.8. Now, back to the team.
Welcome back to Talking of Books, and we're in our final segment, and our Book of the Week, The Underground Railroad by Colson Whitehead, has absolutely deserved its slot on today's Talking of Books. It really has raised so many important issues for us, both from a historical viewpoint and also from where we are today. And both Yara and I had to go back and reread the ending, because that's not what sticks in your mind in the way that it really doesn't end. So we're going to ask our wonderful head of drama from Dubai College, Natalie, to read the last final bit. It doesn't give anything away.
No,
we're not giving
any
spoilers. So this is how Cora's journey ends at the end of The Underground Railroad.
Cora clambered to the driver's box. He opened the basket. She tore off some bread and gobbled it down. "There's plenty," he said. He had a horseshoe brand on his neck and pulled up his collar to hide it when Cora's eyes lingered. "Shall we catch up?" "That's good," she said. He barked at the horses and they proceeded on the rut. "Where are you going?" Cora said. "St. Louis. From there, the trail to California. Us and some people were going to meet in Missouri." When she didn't respond, he said, You come from down south? "I was in Georgia. I ran away." She said her name was Cora. She unfolded the blanket at her feet and wrapped herself in it. "I go by Ollie," he said. The other two wagons came into view around the bend. The blanket was stiff and raspy under her chin, but she didn't mind. She wondered where he escaped from, how bad it was, and how far he travelled before he put it behind him.
The end. Mm. Yeah. Yeah, so you know, just a fantastic book to really stir you up, you know, to take away any of your, you know, pre-held, misheld sort of ideas about what slavery actually is.
Yeah. And I think he ends that way because for him, he can see that the struggle continues even in modern day race relations. So he leaves it quite open.
Yeah.
Which,
and that last line, how far he travelled before he put it behind him. It's kind of a question. How far does a person have to go before they can find some sense of peace with what's happened to them and what's happened to their people generations ago?
Yeah,
really, really poignant.
Mm. I just hope they don't ever make a film of this.
I couldn't
because
it.
I saw 12 Years a Slave, which was a true account, then made into the film. Oh, and the film was just... I think, Yara, you said you couldn't go
and see it. No, I was told in advance that it was quite harrowing and warned in advance so much that I didn't even try.
Mm. Yeah. It's a hard one, isn't it?
It is a hard one. But we have some lucky winners today.
We do indeed.
So please, Natalie, do the honours and let people out of there, let them know who's going to be taking home books today.
Okay, so starting with our first question, and it was inspired by our book champion who brought in Out of Africa, and the question was, which famous actress won an Oscar for her role in Out of Africa? And the answer was Meryl Streep, although with a terrible Danish accent, in my opinion. And the winner is Cynthia. So Cynthia will be receiving a book from us, that's right. And the second question was, beetles undergo metamorphosis as part of their life cycle, true or false? And I actually didn't know the answer to this, but Seb Page, who is 9 years old, did know the answer, and it is true. They do. You actually educated me, didn't you? They started larvae or...
Yes. Well, I was fascinated. I looked up on Wikipedia about the whole species of beetles. I've just really stopped at the very hungry caterpillar, which I know undergoes metamorphosis. But I didn't realise that all beetles actually do. It's a complete, in fact, it's a much more complete metamorphosis than even a caterpillar. Wow. So they make up the largest group in the species of all the animal kingdom. Come under beetles or it's called something. Mm.
Well, well done to Seb, and Seb goes to desk school so he can tell all his friends. He was a brilliant winner of that. And then the last question was, when was slavery completely abolished in the US? And Deborah Maskey, hope I've pronounced that right, Deborah, has got it correct, and it was 1865.
Yes, so those are all of our lucky winners, and we've had a fantastic show, and thanks to Yanni for coming in as our book champion today, and to Yara and
Shahil,
Maya. Our young reviewers. Maya. And although you are a young reviewer as well. Younger than me. Were our wonderful young reviewers for Beetle Boy by M.G. Leonard. Yeah. They did a fantastic job. And it's always a delight to have these young, enthusiastic readers on each week who really do get what reading's all about. And then to our lead reviewer, Yara Badri, for taking us through today's Pulitzer Prize winning The Underground Railroad. And thank you to my co-host, and thank you, Isabel, co-host.
Thank you to you.
Madison.
You did a brilliant job.
And to our wonderful producer, Elaine, who also sourced all the clips for us and has kept us more or less on time. It's quite difficult to do that every week, but particularly if I'm sitting in the driving seat, because I lose all track of time. Just to round up, have we got any books that we're reading at the moment? So Natalie, what are you reading at the moment that you might like to recommend?
I'm actually reading Beetle Boy because I wanted to get ready for the show today, and I thought, oh, I'll read a little bit because it's only a children's book. I'll just read the first few pages and to get an idea, and I couldn't stop. So I think actually whether you're a child or an adult, Beetle Boy by M.G. Leonard is actually fantastic, and I'm not embarrassed to say it at all that I'm reading a book aimed at 10 to 14 year olds. It's brilliant.
Well, I think children's literature can be some of the best literature there is, because it has to appeal, but it all, you know, they still have the really big ideas in it, but it has to appeal to both children and adults. Yara, have you got a book you'd like to?
I just finished reading a memoir that's been on the bestseller list for ages, called When Breath Becomes Air.
Oh.
And it's actually a bit of a difficult read, in the sense that it's about a neurosurgeon's journey in terms of getting cancer and having to come to terms with that. And I think it's really interesting seeing a very scientific person who is also a doctor having to cope with the idea of his own mortality. And it's really touching. And I like the fact that it was very life-affirming as well. It was an excellent book.
To go well with that one, Being Mortal, I don't know if you've read that, by Atul Gawande. He's an American physician. Originally from, I think his parents were originally from India, but he writes this amazing book about how nowadays people are finding it increasingly difficult to accept that we are mortal, and that an end will come, and how we can end with dignity. And it's an absolutely brilliant book. He looks at all his different patients. He visits all sorts of things. And it was a really moving book. And I think important that again, that we accept mortality, you know, that we're not going to go on forever. Next week's Talking of Books, we will be having our book champion will be reviewing The Art of Deception by Kevin Mitnick. The Dragon's Green by Scarlett Thomas is our young reviewer's book. And the book of the week, which I've just finished, I'm ahead of myself, I Hid My Voice by Parinoush Sanis. It's an Iranian writer and it's in translation. And it's an unusual book. It's an unusual book. I don't think I've read something quite like that, but I'll save the rest of my comments till next week. So until next week, happy reading, happy Ramadan to all of our listeners, and thank you so much for all your SMSs, which keep us on our toes throughout our show, Talking of Books. Farewell.
Book of the Week, what you should be reading.
This is Talking of Books, here on Dubai Eye 103.8.